to the Cross-Eyed Radio Program, sponsored by Joshua Revolution. Cross-Eyed is a radio talk show dedicated to proclaiming the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. We want to encourage you to open your Bibles with us as we study the life-changing revelation found within the scriptures in how to live the victorious Christian life. Now, let's go into the studio of Revolution Radio with your host, Pastor Mike Chory.
Welcome tonight to Cross-Eyed Radio, and we are delighted to have you tonight, as always, on the life-changing gospel message. Cross-Eyed, there is no message greater than the cross, and to understand it, and that's what we attempt to do each and every Saturday night from 9:30 to 10:30, coming off the heels of the last trump tonight. And again, as we said in the first hour, a very happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. It's 2024. We're coming down to the end of the year. Christmas season is beginning. This is our favorite time of the year. And in the Chory household, it gets a little crazy. I mean, there's Christmas trees in every room. There's lights outside. There's lights inside. We absolutely love Christmas. But we love Thanksgiving too, don't we? It's a time with family and great food and just kicking back and being thankful for all that God has done. And it's the beginning of the Christmas season. And so we are very much thankful for a lot of things. Most importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on Calvary. And we are thankful for you tonight. I want to thank all of our faithful listeners that make this radio broadcast possible. And if you've been listening for any length of time, you know we do not cut corners. We do not compromise. And we're going to give you the word. And some of it you might like, some of it you might not like. But always check it out if it's biblical. That's what the Bereans did in the Bible. They went back, they heard the Apostle Paul, and they went back and searched the scriptures to see if what they were hearing was in the Word of God. And that is the most important thing. And I want to make this available to you tonight. We just offered The Great Deception, A Fallen Nation, and A Weeping Prophet for anyone that prayed listening to the last trump tonight. And I believe that this book is maybe one of the most important books that we have written as it pertains to end times. And it really addresses, The Great Deception does, it addresses the many sins of our nation. I'm talking about America, but we could include Canada in that, both in the church and in the culture. And The Great Deception reveals how the spiritually blind in our nation has led the blind, which has resulted in a nation that is growingly, increasingly liberal, immoral, spiritually deaf and dumb. And in the last several years, it appears that God has just begun to turn our nation over to a reprobate mind. We now have seen in 2024 tremendous storms and flooding, tornadoes, hurricanes. Now snowstorms are coming. The West Coast just got hit with a bomb cyclone, high winds. It just keeps coming. And we believe that God is causing or allowing these things to try to wake up America. Because, my friend, the great deception is on. And the judgment of God, from all indications, have begun. With the worst soon to follow. Unless we repent, unless we see one last great Jesus revival, I'm not sure there's going to be anything left of this nation in a few years. And the Lord is calling every preacher of the gospel to come back to the cross. Preach the cross, preach the Holy Spirit, preach the soon and imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to, as we get into this Christmas season, I really would pray that every one of you would call tonight and say, can I get a copy of The Great Deception? The Lord spoke to me back in 2020 when there was confusion. I mean, like I had never seen before. In the church, outside of the church, COVID was upon us. The country was shutting down. there was more conspiracies than I had ever heard before about what was really going on. And I just dropped to my knees one day and I said, God, I'm confused. I do not know what's going on. I don't know who to believe. I don't know what's happening to our country. And I said, I'm a shepherd of sheep at the church. I'm a pastor. I need to know what's going on. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, read the book of Jeremiah and you will not be confused. I mean, when you hear a person tell you something like that, it makes a difference. But when God speaks to you, it's a whole nother level. And I mean, I was crying when the Lord spoke it to me. And, you know, you out there that maybe you hear from the Lord all the time like that, you're more spiritual than I am. I don't hear the Lord speak to me like that very often. It was like an audible voice. And how fast do you think it took me to get to the book of Jeremiah? I started to study every chapter, every verse, every word. And the Lord had me write a study guide. We have it in our ministry. It's a study guide on the book of Jeremiah. That would also be a great resource for you. 52 chapters, every verse broken down. And the Lord laid it on my heart after many hours of studying it to teach it at our Bible school, which we call the School of Joshua. And it took me, I don't know, it might have taken 52 weeks. I mean, it wasn't a full year, but it was pretty close that I was teaching the book of Jeremiah. When I got finished, a dear sister, I was coming into the church to preach the last class, we teach at the School of Joshua. We do a little preaching, but mostly teaching. And it was the last few chapters, 50, 51, 52. And I walked into the sanctuary and the dear sister looked at me and she said, Pastor Mike, this study that you've been giving us needs to be in a book. And when she said that, I felt the Holy Spirit. And I knew that what she was telling me I was to do, I was to follow it. And I set out to write the book, The Great Deception. And it took me all about, I don't know, 2 years to write it. Maybe more, maybe 3 years. And it came out in 2024, in the beginning of this year. And the contents of this book, the chapter titles, I'll just give you a little sneak preview of what's in it. It's the chapter titles are A Fallen Nation and a Weeping Prophet, The 2020 Vision, America, the Modern Ancient Israel, Babylon is Alive and Well, The Downfall of America, It's Time to Connect the Dots, False Prophets in the Land, The Apostate Church, Fighting the Wrong Battle, God is Our Only Hope, The Removal of the Hedge, The Weeping Prophet, Wolves in Sheep's Clothing, Barabbas or Jesus, Whom Do You Want? Israel's Glorious Future, and the final chapter, Rapture Warning. I believe that every one of these chapters are inspired by the Holy Spirit. We published the book. We've given out more books than we've sold. We really don't ever produce a book thinking, how many can we sell? We really don't. We give them away. We give them over radio. We give them in our church. When I go out to speak, I'll give them to people that want them. But I want you to know you need a copy of this. And when you read this, it's going to open your eyes. There are a lot of things you hear, particularly on The Last Trump with Kurt Space and myself, and it troubles you at times. I believe when you read The Great Deception and you get into the word, which we're trying to illuminate in this book, you will see things. And you will know, now I know why they're saying what they're saying. America is under the great deception right now. It's never been greater. And we shouldn't be surprised by it. In Matthew chapter 24, kind of an interesting chapter number, we're in 2024. They asked Jesus, what will be the signs of your coming? And the very first sign that he gave was he said, take heed. That means take warning that no man deceives you. Do you realize tonight that Satan's greatest weapon is not lust? His greatest weapon is not anger. His greatest weapon is not drugs. The greatest weapon that Satan has in his arsenal is deception. That's why he's called the devil to begin with. And he is coming to make something look good in your life, but is really not good. You remember back in the Garden of Eden. I mean, Adam and Eve, God said you can eat from all the trees in the garden, but the one tree that you cannot eat from is the one in the middle of the garden, and it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Bible says that the devil came in the form of a serpent. And the serpent spoke to Adam and Eve. And he went to Eve and he said, has God said you cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And she said, yes, he has said we cannot eat of that one tree, because if we eat of that one tree, we shall die. And the devil said, you shall not die. Deception, going against the word of God. And then he said, but when you eat of that tree, you shall be as gods. Deception. Friend, let me tell you something. The only way in this culture of what's going on in America today, what's going on in the world today, the only way a person will not be deceived is, number one, they must have the Holy Spirit in them. And number two, you must study your Bible to learn who God is, how he works, how he operates, and how the devil deceives. And so, On both of our programs, The Last Trump and Cross-Eyed Radio, we are really here to try to provoke you, encourage you, love you, to get you to read your Bible, study your Bible, go to church. And listen, you got to pick your church carefully. And I'll just give you a couple ways to know if it's a good church. But let me give you, first of all, how not to pick a church. Do not choose a church by convenience. Oh, it's close to my house. Oh, the services are only 1 hour. Oh, they have a big facility. Easy to park my car, get in, get out. Do not pick a church because of programs. Oh, they've got a great program for our children. They've got great outreaches or whatever it is. All of those things in and of themselves can be very appealing, and they might be good, but here is what makes them good, and this is how you should choose a church. And it matters not if the church is large, medium size, or just a small handful of people. You must choose the church first and foremost on what they're preaching. And let me tell you, it must be centered on Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you are attending a church and they are not preaching the cross, you say, we only hear about the cross on Good Friday or Easter Sunday, something's wrong. The message of the cross is Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead for three main reasons. Number one, to justify the sinner. That means to declare you as not guilty before a thrice holy God. Number two, They must preach the cross for sanctification. How to live for God. How to be separate from the world. And number three, glorification. That one day Jesus is coming back and he's going to give you a glorified body. All three of these amazing blessings, justification, sanctification, glorification, was all purchased for you at Calvary. Why do you think Paul said, I have determined not to know anything else but Jesus Christ and him crucified? Because the Apostle Paul, he came to the conclusion, every blessing, everything I receive, which is by grace through faith, comes as a result of what Christ did on the cross. We want you to be cross-eyed. Your church needs to be preaching the cross. Paul said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. We need to be preaching the blood of Jesus. We need to be singing about the blood. We need to understand that it's by his shed blood that I am delivered from the bondage of sin. Secondly, the church must be preaching on the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to hear me tonight. Do not compromise the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the triune Godhead. And God the Father is sitting on the throne tonight. Jesus is at the right hand. It's the Holy Spirit who is on the earth, and he's moving and operating. He's convicting of sin and righteousness and judgment. And you need to know who the Holy Spirit is. You need to know how he operates, what moves him, what grieves him, what quenches him. And listen to me carefully. Do not compromise the mighty baptism with the Holy Spirit. What they received on the day of Pentecost is for every believer. Every child of God needs to be endued with power from on high. I remember some years ago, I was in Israel and I was walking the Dead Sea one night. Our group was preparing for dinner. The sun was going down and I was walking on the beach of the Dead Sea. And it's just beautiful there. But there is no fish in the water. Everything is dead. It's 40% salt. And as I was praying, the Lord brought me to a verse in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. I believe it's the 49th verse. And the Lord spoke to me through this verse, right that time of prayer at the Dead Sea. And I want to read it to you. Luke chapter 24, and it's in verse, if I have the right verse, it's verse 49. He said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. These are the words of Jesus. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, I was just a kid in the faith. I was only 2 years born again. But on October the 2nd, 1984, coming out of the University of Buffalo football practice, a teammate of mine laid his hands on me, prayed over me, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was a Baptist kid in a Baptist church, just saved. And I felt the power of God that day as I began to speak in a language that I had never learned. My church wasn't teaching it. My church didn't believe in it. I couldn't even go back to my pastor and tell him I had received it. I don't know if I'd be kicked out, but they would have tried to talk me out of it, most likely. But I knew that day on October 2nd, 1984, it was real. That what the disciples received, the 120 on the day of Pentecost, was for us today. And it wasn't just that God gave me this amazing gift to be able to speak in an unknown tongue. It was what I saw happen after that. I mean, I became just stronger in the Lord. I had a stronger love for the Word of God. I had a stronger love for souls, but I was more bold. And the biggest change I saw was through being filled with the Holy Spirit. My eyes came off of myself. I was had an over-concentration of myself. I was always in practice. If I dropped a ball or didn't have a good practice, I would become very depressed and very critical of myself, to the point that I would, you know, people in my house would just stay away from me, because I'd come home and if I had a bad practice or I wasn't starting that week for the University of Buffalo, I just was miserable to be around. But when the Lord filled me with the Spirit, it was the senior year. I only had a few weeks left of my senior year. But I mean, from that point, I just started to praise the Lord. I started thanking God for being on the team. I thanked him to be able to put on the uniform. I thanked him for the drop passes. The Lord changed the way I looked at things. I no longer was following after the flesh. I was now filled with the Spirit. There was a change. You know, when a man goes to the shoe store and he says, I want a pair of shoes, he doesn't say, I want a pair of tongues. The tongues come with the shoes. Speaking in other tongues, that's just the evidence of something much greater. You just got filled with more of Jesus Christ, more power, more boldness, more conviction. And that day when I was walking on the Dead Sea, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I don't want you to separate evangelism with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, I don't want you to separate the salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They go together. Now, in order to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you have to be saved. And you don't need to speak in tongues to go to heaven. I don't know who teaches that. It's erroneous. The thief on the cross didn't have time. He was going home. He was going to paradise. He never spoke in tongues. There are many hundreds, thousands, millions of people that have gotten saved and never once spoken in tongues. No, to be saved, you just need to repent and believe in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. But after you're born again, there is a promise for you as a child of God. And that promise is that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you would be endued with power from on high. And we go on the mission field, you know, we go to Mexico, and many times we give an altar call and people come forward to get saved. And we will pray for them right after they get saved to be filled with the Spirit. And we will see many baptized in the Spirit. The last time we went to Mexico, so many people were being filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. It was like so easy. It was like, I can't remember very many that walked away that didn't receive, because they were hungry. They were thirsty. No one had taught them, this is not for today. This has passed away. And they received it. You know, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The only real requirement to being filled, one, you have to be saved already, but you have to be hungry and thirsty for more of God. And when the Lord spoke that to me at the Dead Sea, I said, Lord, most of the church, they get angry. They don't like hearing about the gifts of the Spirit. They don't like hearing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I said to him, Lord, would you give me a confirmation? And I asked him that he would fill three people in our group that night with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And I went to our group, and it was about a group of 30 or more people that went to Israel on that trip. And I announced to them that tonight we're going to have a service down in the Dead Sea, and we're going to pray with people to be filled with the Spirit. And guess how many people came down? Three people. There were my three. And I laid my hands on them. One of the men in our group preached on the Holy Spirit. And there was a lady with us. She works in our ministry, Sister Julie Fuller. She could testify tonight of this. And we laid hands on these three ladies. And what's interesting, they were all from Canada. They had come down, a church up there that we were working with. And one was the pastor's or the youth pastor's wife. The other one was her sister. And then another lady from the church. Three women. And I said to them, you know, we had no lighting down there. It was dark. And they were sitting in chairs, and we laid hands on them, and it was loud with the water down there. And I said, look at it. When you receive, when you believe you've received the Holy Spirit's power with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, I want you to stand to your feet so we can thank the Lord for this gift that's been given to you. And that night, all three of them, one at a time, but all three of them stood to receive. And I had prayed earlier in the day, Lord, confirm this, that these two messages, the message of the cross and the promise of the Father, which is the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you want me to preach both of those in our ministry together, meaning both are significant. And he confirmed it. And I knew that night, friend, that I was never to compromise the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And many of you that listen, you may come from Baptist churches, you may come from Lutheran, wherever you come from, that you don't hear it on a Sunday morning. But I just want to tell you tonight, it's real. And it's changed my life. The greatest gift given to the sinner is salvation. The greatest gift given to the saint is the mighty baptism with the Holy Spirit. We have a church here called Cross River. There's a reason why it's called Cross River, because we preach the cross and we preach the river in that order. The river flows from the cross. And you have to understand, it's got to be biblical. You've got to have chapter and verse for it. Because if you start teaching the Holy Spirit without the cross, people get weird. But if you tried to preach the cross without the Holy Spirit, people are going to be dry. It's going to be all about what they understand mentally, but they have not yet experienced the power of God. You need both. I like what one man said. He said, the word without the Spirit, if you've got the word without the Spirit, you'll dry up. If you got the Spirit without the Word, you'll blow up. But if you got the Word and the Spirit, you'll grow up. And so when you look for a church, make sure they're preaching the cross by all means. And make sure they're preaching and teaching on the Holy Spirit. And they believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit, which is what the Holy Spirit comes to do. And also make sure they're teaching and preaching end times, getting people in the ark before it's too late, because the next event on God's timetable is the rapture of the church.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you you.
Oh, what a song. What a song. Grace Brumley, Worthy is the Lord. Beautiful song. And I want to tonight just give a little shout out for Grace's dad. Lauren Larson just came out of surgery just a couple days ago. He had a tumor in his brain that was removed. It was successful. We are all rejoicing. Lauren Larson is a tremendous Bible teacher down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. And Lauren, we're praying for you, and we know God's got this. And what a wonderful family. And that was his daughter, Grace Brumley, singing that wonderful song. Again, happy Thanksgiving to everyone that's listening tonight. Crosside Radio is your radio station, and we're here every Saturday night giving you the message of the cross. I want to encourage you, if you're looking for a church in the local area, Cross River Church, we are on Grand Island. We say it's a grand place to live, but it's a grand place to worship God. Just a few minutes from the border between U.S. and Canada, just a short distance to the beautiful Niagara Falls. We're located at 2920 Grand Island Boulevard. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., it'll be our Thanksgiving service. Looking forward to that. And we have children's ministry, and there's just so much going on, women's ministry, men's ministry throughout each month, and youth ministry. So why don't you come on out, check us out, Cross River Church, located again at 2920 Grand Island Boulevard, tomorrow, 10 a.m. We have a prayer meeting on Sunday nights at 6:30. And then our Bible school, the School of Joshua, we are teaching on the Holy Spirit right now. People are really excited about that. And you can come here every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock for Bible study, or watch us at Cross River Tabernacle on our Facebook page. All right, we're going back here. And tonight I want to get into the Word of God. And if you have your Bibles in front of you, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. And I'm going to read just a couple verses tonight. But the title of this short little message is The Greatest Question That Was Ever Asked. I want you to think about that for a moment. What is the greatest question that was ever asked of a person? It's found here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 57. And the Word of God says, "And they had laid hold on Jesus, and they led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priest and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. The high priest arose, and he said unto him, Answer thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses say against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered, and he said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. That is the greatest question that has ever been given. And it was given to the Lord himself. They asked him, Are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God? Now, friend, the word Christ means Messiah. It means the anointed one. Make no mistake, they knew what they were asking. Caiaphas, the elders, they were saying, Are you God in the flesh? That is what you and every person in this world must answer. Do you believe Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us? See, it's not a matter of, was he a great prophet? Which he was. And you might say, I believe that. It's not a matter of he was a great healer, which he was, and you might believe that. It wasn't that he was a great teacher, and he was the greatest whoever lived, and you might believe that. But the question of all questions to you and to this world, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Is he for you the Messiah, the Son of God? And Jesus answered this question. And in Mark, it says, he said, I am. I am. And for a Jew, that is exactly what God, and for really all of us, that is what God said to Moses. Jehovah said to Moses, when Moses said, when I go to the Pharaoh, who do I say sent me? He said, tell him the I am has sent you. So when the Lord said, I am, which is recorded in Mark 14:62, they knew exactly he was claiming deity. And Jesus also said to them, thou hast said, meaning thou hast said, are you the Son of God? Yes, I am. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. I mean, he is saying right in that verse, and I mean, I just read for you, verse 64. He said, you have said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. And that is exactly where the Lord is tonight. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he is the judge. God has placed him. He is the judge of us all. And coming in the clouds of heaven is speaking of the second coming. So he claimed deity. And there are two truths tonight that you and I must believe in order to be saved. Number one, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And when we say Son of God, we're not talking about like you think of a son to a father of this world. You see, I am the son of my dad, Robert Shorey. But me and my dad are different. We look different. We just have different characteristics. Although I might have some similarity, we're different. But in the case of the Son of God, they are exactly the same. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I and the Father are one. So Jesus claimed deity when he said, I am. He was saying, I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. I am God in the flesh. And this is where the rubber meets the road. There are many in the world today that believe Jesus was a good man, but they don't believe he was God in the flesh. The Jews, 99% of the Jews, they believe Jesus was a man. He was a prophet, all of that, but they do not believe he's their Messiah. But yet when you look through the scriptures, over and over, it's declared that Jesus is God. The angels declared it in Luke chapter 1. At the birth of Jesus, the angel declared it to Mary that he was the Son of God. The demons declared it in Luke 4, verse 41. It says, and demons also came out of many, crying, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. I mean, the demons knew. John the Baptist declared it in John 1:34. He said, and I have seen and bore witness that this is the Son of God. I mean, John was the forerunner. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Friend, no one can take away sin but God alone. Remember in Mark chapter 2, when Jesus was sitting in Peter's mother-in-law's house, the house was filled with people. And four men brought a paralytic to the house. They couldn't get the man in because of the press of the people. And they went up on top of the roof and tore a hole in the top of Peter's house and lowered the man on the stretcher right in front of Jesus. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 2, it says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. They didn't bring that man to Jesus to get his sins forgiven. They brought that man to Jesus to get healed. He was a paralytic. And the Bible says that some of the scribes that were sitting there, these are the religious leaders, they started to question in their heart, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? That was what Jesus was trying to tell them. He is God. Only God can forgive sin. And the Bible says, immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they questioned within themselves, he said these words, why do you question these things in your heart? And then he said, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose, and immediately he picked up his bed and he went out before them all, so that they were all amazed, glorifying God, saying, we've never saw it like this. Friend, Mark chapter 2 declares it. He wasn't committing blasphemy when he said to that paralytic, your sins be forgiven. He is God. The Jehovah Witnesses have this wrong. The Mormons have this wrong. The Buddhists have this wrong. The Muslims have this wrong. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. This is the story of Christmas. A virgin shall conceive and give birth, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Do you believe that tonight? You see, when you really understand the gospel, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you call out to Jesus, the Son of God, God becoming man, Emmanuel, incarnate. When you believe that, and you believe on what he did on the cross for you, you can be saved. And without believing that, you cannot be saved. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, one of my favorite verses. I preach it all the time at Cross River. Paul said these words, I am crucified with Christ. You know what that means? You as a believer must identify that when Jesus died on the cross, you died with him. Talking about the old sinful man. When Jesus was put in the tomb and buried, your old sinful man was buried with him. And when Jesus rose from the dead, you were risen with him, the new man, Christ in you. A new life, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is Romans chapter 6, 3 through 6. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you identify with that and believe it and trust in it, you shall be saved. When you believe in it and trust in it, you shall be delivered. And in Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But the life that I now live, I live in the flesh by the faith. There's only one faith. If you look at Galatians 2:20, you see the word T-H-E, the faith, that is in the Greek called the definite article. That means the faith is in the noun. There's only one faith. I mean, there's no other faith that can save you tonight than what I'm about to tell you. There's no other faith that can deliver you. There's no other faith that can heal you. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said it, I am the way. The definite article, T-H-E, meaning the only way. I am the faith, the only faith. I am the life, the only life. I am the truth, the only truth. See, the world doesn't like this because they say this is dogmatic. They say that this is narrow-minded thinking. Let me tell you something. The road to get to heaven, Jesus said, is narrow, and few are those who find it. But the wide road that leads to destruction, many are on it. There are not many roads or many ways to God. There's only one tonight, friend. And that way is the way of the cross by what Jesus Christ there did for you. You're not getting to heaven any other way. You're not going to find life eternally any other way. I didn't say it. Don't get mad at me. Jesus said it. I'm just the messenger to give you the message that will save your soul and change your life and heal you and deliver you. When you become single-minded on this, watch what God will do in your life. And here's the truth now, back to Galatians 2:20. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, here it is, in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Son of God, he answered that question, are you the Son of God? The greatest question ever asked. He said, I am. Who loved me, Paul said, and gave himself for me. Here are the three things I want you to hear tonight. The source of our salvation is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. The means by which you are saved is what he did on the cross. And the motivation for why he did that is because he loves you. Hear it again. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. This is what he believed. The faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Why did Jesus die on that cross? Because he loves you. Why did God become human flesh and come down to earth and live among us? Because he loves you. And it's the only way you can be saved. Tonight, if you will put your faith in Jesus Christ as your substitute, what do I mean by that? He took your judgment. He went to the cross and he died. And he paid the price for your sin. And tonight, if you'll put your faith in that truth alone, you will be redeemed. Your name will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You say, preacher, that's all I got to do? Yes. Listen, the gospel is simple. It's an easy message to understand, to believe. But the effects of it are profound. When I was a sinner, I got up, walked down an aisle and said, my life's a mess. I got to give my life to Jesus. The preacher looked at me and he said, why have you come forward? I thought if I get this wrong, I might die and go to hell. I just said the first thing that came to me, I said, because I love Jesus. And he looked at me and smiled and he said, that's the right answer. And he led me to Jesus. Tonight, I want to ask you, do you love him? Do you know he loves you? The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so right now, I want to ask you, do you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Do you want to put your faith in him, who he is, the Son of God, God in the flesh, and believe in what he did for your life to set you free and to pay the price of sin? All you have to do tonight is call on his name. And I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. I want you to pray this with me out loud, wherever you may be. I want the devil to hear it. Some of you have walked away from the faith. Some of you have been playing games with God. You need to come back and make Jesus the Lord of your life. You pray tonight with us as well. Now just repeat after me out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for the things I've done and the way that I've lived. Tonight, I want to repent, turn from my way, and go the way of the cross. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are God. And I believe you died on that cross for my sins to pay the price of the penalty of my sins. And I believe 3 days later, you rose from the dead and you are alive. And tonight I open up my heart and I invite you, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life and be alive in me. Right now, I receive you. Right now, I dedicate my life to serving you. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Now, I want you to do something very important. There's operators waiting. If you just prayed with us to receive the Lord or come back to the Lord, I want to send you the book that I've written, Cross-Eyed, How to Have Victory Over Sin. I'm going to send it to you. I know it'll be a blessing to you. We'll send it to you postage paid, free of charge. If you don't have a Bible, we'll send you a Bible. Here's the number to call. Write this down. You need to call this number tonight to seal your decision. 716-229-8000. 716-229-8000. Up in Canada, 1-888-444-2920. That's 1-888-444-2920. Go to your phone right now. You'll be glad you did. We love you. God bless you. See you next week.
Saved by grace through faith. When you came, you made a way. Now whosoever will may come and be free.
You have been listening to Cross-Eyed, a radio talk show sponsored by Joshua Revolution. If Cross-Eyed has been a blessing to you, please let us know by sending a testimony of how the program has helped you. If you would like to support Cross-Eyed financially, you can send financial gifts to Joshua Revolution, P.O. Box 923, Grand Island, New York, 14072, or go online to joshuarevolution.org. We thank you for your help and prayers, and remember to tune in next week at 9:30 p.m. for Cross-Eyed, a radio show proclaiming the message of the cross.